This is Akashvani, the news read by Anuja Kumar. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is now on his way to New Delhi after concluding his successful three-day visit to the United States. During his hectic stay, Prime Minister Modi attended the Quad Leaders Summit, a large Indian-American community event, addressed the United Nations Summit of the Future, and held multiple bilateral meetings with the heads of several other countries. Prime Minister Modi began his visit with a meeting with the U.S. President Joe Biden. The two agreements signed during the meeting include Indo-Pacific Economic Framework Agreement and India-U.S. Drug Policy Framework. In his address at the Quad Leaders Summit, Prime Minister Modi said, Quad is committed to a free, open, inclusive and prosperous Indo-Pacific. He stressed that Quad is here to stay, to assist, to partner and to complement. On the sidelines of the summit, Prime Minister Modi also held bilateral meetings with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. On the second day of his visit, the Prime Minister addressed the Indian-American community event and interacted with the tech industry leaders in New York. On the third and final day of his visit, speaking at the Summit of the Future at the United Nations General Assembly, Prime Minister Modi said that the success of humanity lies in collective strength and not in the battlefield. On the sidelines of the summit, the Prime Minister held talks with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar held a bilateral meeting with Bangladesh Foreign Affairs Advisor Tohid Hussain on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly in New York. This marks the first high-level engagement between India and Bangladesh's interim government led by Mohammad Yunus after Sheikh Hasina's ouster as the Prime Minister last month. The meeting focused on strengthening the bilateral ties between the two neighboring countries and addressed mutual interests. President Draupadi Murmu has stressed that audit needs to keep up with technological evolution in order to be able to perform its oversight functions effectively. The President said the mandate of public sector audits has expanded beyond traditional auditing and it also includes assessing the effectiveness of public welfare schemes and projects, ensuring that they serve all citizens equitably. President Murmu said this after inaugurating the 16th Assembly of the Asian Organization of Supreme Audit Institutions in New Delhi today. S&P Global Ratings today retained India's growth forecast at 6.8% for the fiscal year 2024-25. In its quarterly economic outlook for the Asia-Pacific region, the Global Rating Agency said India's GDP growth moderated in the June quarter as high interest rates temper urban demand. The rating agency also retained India's growth forecast for fiscal year 2025-26 at 6.9%. In Jammu and Kashmir, all arrangements are in place to ensure free, fair and smooth polling in the second phase of assembly elections tomorrow. 26 assembly constituencies will go to polls in this phase. The third phase of elections covering the remaining 40 assembly segments will be held on the 1st of October. BJP has demanded resignation of Karnataka Chief Minister Siddaramaiah to make way for a free and independent investigation against the allegations of corruption in Muda case. Addressing media at party headquarters in Delhi this afternoon, senior BJP leader Rajiv Chandrasekhar said the Karnataka High Court has rejected the plea of Siddaramaiah to stay the investigation order issued by the Karnataka governor against him and his family's involvement in the Muda case. He alleged that a sitting chief minister has misused his office to enrich himself and his family. National People's Power MP Dr. Harini Amarasuriya has been sworn in as Sri Lanka's Prime Minister. Dr. Amarasuriya was sworn in before President Anura Kumara Dissanayake at the Presidential Secretariat this afternoon. Israeli airstrikes targeting Hezbollah positions across Lebanon have resulted in at least 492 deaths. This marks the deadliest day of conflict in the region in almost 20 years. The Israeli military reports striking 1,600 Hezbollah assets, including what they describe as cruise missiles, rockets, and explosive warheads. And that is the end of this news bulletin.